2. All right, welcome back to Talking Baseball alongside Bill Lasky and Marty Lurie. My name is Kerry Crowley. It's a pleasure to welcome in our next guest, voice of the Arizona Diamondbacks, and you hear him on MLB Network Sirius XM Radio, Mike Farron. Mike, how are you on this fine Sunday morning?
I'm good, Kerry. How are you?
Doing quite well. The Arizona Diamondbacks gave the Giants some unlikely help on Saturday night, defeating the Dodgers 7-2, beating Clayton Kershaw. Take us through that a little bit. I think the Giants fans were really, really pleased to see that result.
Oh, I'm sure they probably were. I mean, listen, when you get good pitching, you've got a much better chance. And last night, Zach Gallen, who I know has struggled at times against the Giants this year, was really, really good. He was in the strike zone a lot right from jump street. He really was pumping a good aggressive fastball by Dodgers hitters early in the game. I mean, he struck out 6 of the first 7 hitters in the game. He really wasn't in much trouble at all. He walked a couple of guys with 2 outs in the third, gave up a solo homer, but he was in complete control, and the Diamondbacks were able to scratch across runs in 5 of the first 7 innings, and that really was the difference. I mean, Ketel Marte, who has just torched left-handed pitching this year, led off the game with a home run off Kershaw. Carson Kelly, whose numbers against lefties are significantly better against righties, took him deep in the second. And so it was a pretty crisp game overall, which is something that the Diamondbacks haven't had a ton of this year. Although I will say the last 3 days has felt a lot more like the D-backs teams from the last 5 years, at least in terms of the way they've run the bases, the way that they've played defensively. It's been a kind of a long malaise for some of the fundamental things that this team did right to stay in contention for most of the last several years. But the last 3 days, they've played about as well as they have all season.
Yeah, looking at this Arizona Diamondbacks lineup, Mike, I think earlier in the season, maybe June, July, when the Giants met the D-backs, you could almost explain the D-backs' struggles this season by just seeing how many different guys were out of the lineup and how many different players were out of the pitching rotation due to injury. But you look at this team now, and it's relatively healthy. You see Ketel Marte at the top at 936 OPS, Dalton Varsho hitting the ball very well. Where is this team from an injury standpoint, and are they stronger right now than they were a few months ago?
Yeah, I think without a doubt. I mean, they went through a stretch where they went 8-50 from basically the beginning of May till about the time the Giants came in at the 4th of July. And to your point, I mean, they were without 4 rotation members at one time in that stretch. That was right on the heels of having 5 members of their lineup out at the same time. And they weren't the deepest team coming into the year. So that really dinged them. They haven't been great the remainder of the season, but it has been much more competitive. And you're right, they are much healthier. And Nick Ahmed has been dealing with some what he thinks is right shoulder bursitis. It's the same thing that he dealt with last year at the beginning of the season. But you know, he hasn't played in, I think today would be 9 consecutive games if he doesn't play. And I think they're hoping that they'll be able to get him back for the Giants series next week. But outside of that, I mean, their starters have been healthier in the second half. They're kind of middle of the pack in terms of their numbers. The offense has been more middle of the pack. You're right in that both Varsho and Marte have had good second halves. Varsho's been tremendous. I mean, what we've seen since the All-Star break is an impactful player who can legitimately play 3 outfield positions and catch. So those things have been really fun. And then they've had guys like Josh Rojas has slowed a little bit and has been dealing with a thumb issue since the middle of July, but he's had a nice year too. So, it's a little bit different team than what we saw earlier in the year. And it's one that especially if they continue to play clean defensively like they have over the last 3 games, can at least be, give you some fits, I think, if you're a contending team.
The Giants have been looking forward to this season-ending series against the Diamondbacks, and for good reason. They're 14-2 against Arizona this season with 3 more games left to go. But Madison Bumgarner was the starting pitcher in one of those games that the Diamondbacks won this year. What does the rotation potentially look like this week? Will the Giants see Bumgarner at Oracle Park? And could Zach Gallen pitch at Oracle Park after a strong performance on Saturday night, Mike?
So the plan is to go to a 6-man rotation down the stretch, which would leave Gallen probably out of it. So now they haven't announced starters yet, but it would seem that the 3 who will most likely be available are Merrill Kelly, Luke Weaver, and Madison Bumgarner. And I know that would be a huge moment, right, for Giants fans, for Bumgarner to be able to see him pitch at Oracle Park. I think there is a good chance, very good chance, that you see him in that series next week.
Well, Madison Bumgarner with a chance to really ruin the Giants' playoff hopes. I don't think that thrills anyone. Obviously not playoff hopes, but division hopes right there. Mike Farron, kind enough to join us here on Sunday morning. When you look big picture at this Diamondbacks team, Mike, Torey Lovello gets picked up for next season. He's coming back in the manager spot. Do you think that they continue to build around Ketel Marte, or do they, you know, kind of blow things up? What do you see Mike Hazen doing here in the offseason?
Well, I don't know how much more you can blow it up from where it is right now. I mean, I think that there are a couple of other veteran players beyond Marte who will generate a significant amount of trade interest, I would think, this winter, that you could see moved. I think that they will probably be a younger roster to open the 2022 season than they were to open the 2021. I don't think that that's a big surprise. I think based on the way things have gone, you know, that's just, you know, it's probably the right thing to do. And they have a farm system that is improving, and has some guys that have matriculated to the highest levels. You know, we talked about Varsho. Jake McCarthy has been up, who's kind of an interesting player because he can really play the outfield. He can really run. The bats started to get a little bit better here as he's gotten more comfortable in the big leagues and puts together good at bats. Alec Thomas is destroying AAA. And they have a lot of pitching that was at Amarillo this year that I know that they're excited about. Amarillo's their double-A team. So I think you probably see them go younger. I don't know that there's going to be a whole lot of trades. But I also think that they have been a little bit like the Giants in the sense that they have wanted to try and remain competitive while rebuilding the organization. I don't think that it's in ownership's desire to tear something all the way down to the bottom. And I definitely know that it's not in the MO of Mike Hazen and his group to do that as well. So I know that that's weird saying on a team that's got, 105 losses at this point, but they weren't trying to be a 105 loss team this year. They were trying to remain competitive, and they knew that they had to thread the needle in order to do that, but they didn't anticipate this. And as Mike has said over and over again, he's like, listen, I needed to build a 100-win team this year, and I didn't. So I'll be very curious to see what they try and do going into next year. But I would think it's a younger squad in general, and that you're going to see some of their better high-level prospects get a lot of opportunities.
No, I think that that's a really good point. You know, you look at this Diamondbacks roster and you compare it to some of the teams that have lost 100 games, the Orioles, the Rangers, and it's clear the Diamondbacks are just superior from a talent standpoint. I think of the 101-win San Francisco Giants going into today, Mike, and a lot of good luck has happened along the way. They've been really good, they've been really talented, but they've also had a lot of good luck, and I see the Diamondbacks as a team that has had a lot of bad luck along the way. I am curious, though, moving forward about Madison Bumgarner and what his future looks like in Arizona. Does he play out the final few years of that contract, the 5-year, $85 million deal, or is he someone that the D-backs look to offload and a salary move this offseason?
Yeah, I don't think that that's necessarily the case. I mean, I think, you know, they would, if you were to ask them, you would get a lot of good GM speak in, open to anything, and we have to be mindful of all sorts of decisions. But I don't see Bumgarner as a guy that they're looking to move on from. You know, Madison's going through that adjustment that a lot of, you know, really good pitchers have to do when they reach a certain point in their career, which is, you know, they're maybe not quite, their stuff isn't quite as dominant as it was when they were in their 20s. And while Madison is younger than a lot of guys are when they start to go through this, he does have a lot of mileage in terms of innings when you start adding on the postseason. I think what you've seen from him, or at least what I've seen from him, is a guy who really is, you know, becoming a much better pitcher than he was. He's trying to move the ball a little bit more. He's using his changeup more frequently, which I know is something that was always kind of a fight in San Francisco. You know, he's trying to use both halves of the plate. And I think there's actually real progress in there, even if it doesn't show up in the numbers. He's had a couple of stints this year, one in April and into May, and then one in July when he first came off the injured list, where his numbers are excellent for four or five starts. I think he's gotten dinged, you know, kind of deserved a better fate in a couple of different outings. His last time out, I think he went five. He basically had a three batter stretch in the second that ruined his line. But I don't view him as a guy that they're looking to move on from, or that they're just looking to dump either. You know, I think he has settled into more of a leadership role this season than he did last year. And I think he's just starting to get it figured out a little bit in the same way that, like, CC Sabathia did, or Adam Wainwright has, you know, later in their career on how to make the most out of what they have, you know, left. And there's still plenty left with Bumgarner. You know, I mean, it's not like he's, again, it's not like he's 40 years old. So I'm actually pretty encouraged by a lot of what I've seen from him this year, even if it doesn't show up in his stat line.
Well, Giants, he looked good against the Giants earlier this season. Giants fans will be rooting for him, just not this week. Mike Farron, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it, sir.
Yeah, anytime, Kerry. Take care.
All right. Coming up next on Talking Baseball, Marty, Bill, and Kerry. You're listening. KNBR 104.5, 680, the sports leader.